didn't expect you there. I'm so unprepared. It's me, Kyle Stook, one of the hosts of Humming Fools. As always, I am joined by my friend, my compatriot, my fellow intellectual brain, occasional spoon buddy, Noah Bosley.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. I just want everyone to know that you are so much more than what I just described. The list goes on.
But those are the essentials.
And that's why they were named first.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I want to further establish that it is Stook. It's not Stuck. I was at a thing this weekend, a nice little charity event, if you will. Mm. And someone who has been told it a couple times said Stuck again. And I was like, no. It's Stook. Now, if this person's listening, I have no aggression towards you, and you're a busy person, so I understand how you can forget. So please don't be angry. I just bring it up to mention to the listeners that I have feelings, and I have a name, and it's Stook. It's not Stuck.
It sounds like that person made up their mind, though. I'm pretty sure they know.
They're like, you know what? I don't like this guy. So I'm going to passively aggressively exactly. Come after him.
Yeah.
No, it's fine. Noah, so happy to have you in our quotation mark studio today and to be talking about our topic. Before we do that, though, there's something that we need to bring up to the people. Can you bring it up to them?
Sure. As always, it's super helpful when people review our show and give it a rating. It doesn't have to be a good rating. It doesn't have to be a positive review. Mm-hmm. Anything helps, and any kind of review will still get you a free sticker. Not that that should be the driving force behind you leaving a review, but if you do have something to say, we appreciate any feedback.
It is 100% true. A slap to the face, a kick to the behind, a squeeze of the belly button, anything that you do to us, we will accept through
iTunes.
Digital, yes, through iTunes.
Reviews.
In person, yes. If you squeeze my belly button, there's going to be a lawsuit coming your way. So don't do that. And don't do it to anyone else.
Kyle, don't pretend that you have money to put towards a lawsuit.
It's true. If you if you came at me, you probably would be able to get away with it.
Yes.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Noah, what is our topic today that we'll be discussing as opposed to a belly button?
Pinching.
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to be talking about the benefits of education versus the benefits of experience.
Man, yep. An elephant in the room for the world.
Oh, dear. Yep.
We're cracking the case wide open. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Well, before we get into the bulk of our scattered thoughts, let's start off. I just thought something fun to do would be to show some popular examples of both sides. So we're going to take a little peek at a list of educated artists and uneducated artists. With some of these, it's not a fair comparison because some of these people went to school for other things. So it's not like the whole, oh, do I need to go to school for this or not? Some of these people, I recognize it was kind of, they maybe wanted to do something else at the time or yada, yada, yada. But still, it does, that'll play into our thoughts later in the episode. So starting off, you know, I know he's not everyone's cup of tea, but James Franco, I respect that man. And he also is busy. He's gotten a lot of education. And mm-hmm. I'll admit, I don't fully know where all of this comes into play in his timeline as an actor and, you know, writer / director. But he's gotten a lot. So let me just read this for you really quick. He has a bachelor's in English from UCLA and received his MFA in writing from Columbia University. But he also studied filmmaking at NYU, fiction writing at Brooklyn College, and poetry at Warren Wilson College. And he's dabbled in coursework at the Rhode Island School of Design and is working on a PhD in English from Yale. I'm not sure when this article is written, so maybe he's already got it.
Oh, I didn't know
but
that.
He also teaches
part, yeah.
college courses. Mm-hmm. And what's kind of fun about that is he, the whatever budget they give to him, he just gives to the students to do fun stuff make their stuff. So anyway, again, very, very busy man. Lots of things listed there. Next, and now I'm going to just fully show my ignorance and butcher this fine lady's name, but there is the rapper MIA, mm-hmm. her actual name, Mathangi / Maya, Maya, Arul, Pru, Gossam. I am so sorry, but we can just, she's normally just referred to as MIA.
Yeah.
Anywho, she studied at Central St. Martin's College of Art and Design and received her degree in film in 2000. And there she learned screenwriting and made fine art films and prints. And just on that, it's kind of cool because I guess that was able to help her produce her own album artwork, videos, clothing, and other stuff that she does. And so again, she's, you know, mainly known as a rapper, as a musician,
right.
But these skills from her schooling like came in, and I'm sure she obviously is grateful for them / views it as time well spent.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, Rashida Jones, who I definitely have a crush on, fantastic actress. She earned a bachelor's in religion and philosophy from Harvard University.
Mm.
And because originally she thought she might pursue law, but thankfully her heart was into acting for young Kyle. Finally, on the educated side, we have someone that I know Noah and I both dearly love. I'd say you probably love him more just because you're more of a music man than I am.
Mm.
But we got Childish Gambino, AKA Donald Glover.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking beforehand about how to pronounce this. I'm not sure, so I'm just going to go for it. It was NYU's Tisch School of the Arts, where he studied dramatic writing, and he graduated in 2006. And it was kind of there, I guess the zero year of, they refer to it as his career, where he wrote a spec script for The Simpsons and from there was able to get on writing for 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm.
He also made a mixtape in college and I guess you can speak more to this. His Childish Gambino, his first mixtape was more of just like I want to do this. This
yeah.
is like a personal thing. And mm-hmm. just because he was then getting known from Community and other things,
right.
he had the ability to kind of fully
put it out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's, again, there's some educated artists for your face. Moving on to uneducated. Again, this is widely known, but Quentin Tarantino, he dropped out of high school at the age of 15, and then he started working as an usher at an adult film theater.
Mm.
Went on to do a buttload of random jobs, just talking to people in Hollywood and trying to get gigs, and eventually, I think at age 31 or in his 30s, he was able to make his first film, but... again, 15. That's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix, he was self-taught and originally learned to play on a one-string ukulele, which I don't even know what that means. It's like there's only a couple things you can do with that.
Right.
But
yeah.
that's how it starts.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Next, we have Lady Gaga. Quick rant on Lady Gaga. Mm. I need to confess that I had disdain in my heart for a long time. Because
God.
I was mad that she won the Golden Globe for
American Horror Story
over
yeah.
Kirsten Dunst in Fargo.
Yeah.
And I hadn't even seen her performance, but I was so upset because I loved what Kirsten Dunst did with Fargo
uh-huh.
that it just seemed so wrong. And so I had this little chip on my shoulder against her.
Mm.
But I've let that go, and I'm very excited to see her in her new movie, A Star Is Born, with Bradley Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
I was instantly charmed by her in the trailer. And even if the movie sucks, I know the music will be good. Not
yeah.
that I like her music that much,
yeah.
but her voice,
mm-hmm.
her as like a country singer or whatever, I can totally get into.
Yeah.
Anywho, she applied to CAP 21, a musical theater conservatory, which I guess is part of New York University's also the Tisch School of the Arts. So I guess her and Donald Glover went to the same place. But anyway, she dropped out after only completing a few semesters. And then she started playing at local nightclubs and focusing on her musical career. And obviously that worked out
yeah.
for her.
That was the right move.
And finally, and there is some debate on this, Vincent van Gogh, he did study art briefly at Antwerp Academy, but multiple places said it had no effect on his approach to painting,
sure.
which is
yeah.
like, well, I don't know if that's
There's
true.
No way of knowing.
Yeah.
yeah.
But just from his personality, I can totally see him not being a school goer.
Yeah.
I don't think he was much of a
goer.
People goer at all either. Nice, Noah. I see you. So there's just a brief list. Maybe some of these people will come back into our discussion later. And I would encourage you, if you kind of lean either or side, Google this, because there's tons of examples of both. And mm-hmm. some of them, again, are shocking of like, oh, like, I don't know, this person had that degree or was interested in that area, or I didn't know this person was self-taught. So
yeah,
if you're a wee babe and you're trying to get mom and dad to let you drop out of high school or not go to college, there's plenty of examples out there for you to point to.
Yep.
I know I did that in high school when I when I moved from Ecuador to the States. Mm-hmm. And after my first day at high school in the States, I was just like, I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. This is so bad. Like I could just drop out, mom, like Quentin Tarantino did it.
Yeah, as exactly. If
like, you know, I'm going to be Quentin Tarantino. Yeah. She's like, A, I don't know who that is. B.
Well, and it's funny when a lot of people say that about Bill Gates.
Oh, really?
Because he was at Harvard and he dropped out. And people are like, well, you know, Bill Gates dropped out of college and he did just fine. It's like, yeah, Bill Gates, first of all, dropped out of Harvard. He didn't drop out of like a local community college. And
not there's anything wrong
with that. No, that's not what I'm saying.
No,
And also he happened to be a genius. So it's like, there are other factors, but yeah,
that's definitely true.
Yeah, it is funny.
So to pull it back, Noah, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about education versus experience. Mm-hmm. Like our past topics, this is kind of a big thing with lots of facets or facetes, as some people say.
Yeah, just
your
one
people
person.
Say that, don't
no.
they? Don't you mean no?
I did mean that. Thank you for correcting me.
You are welcome. Mm. Anywho, is there any particular place you want to start off with this topic?
I'm sure. I mean, I kind of want to preface it by saying, like, we're not going to argue about whether one is better than the other.
Nope. Sorry.
Yeah, that's and I've had this argument with myself in the past, and then once I'd made certain decisions in my life, I was like, well, now I have to stick to my guns and say, well, this is better. Mm. And then, you know, as time goes on, you're like, oh, well, different things work for different people. And so this is mostly what this is about, is just kind of finding what works for you. Mm-hmm. And I guess there's going to be advice tucked in there somewhere. When I was writing my notes. Well, I was writing my notes. So I was like, oh, I'm kind of writing advice down as my notes, but I don't want to give advice because it's scary. And also, who am I to do it? But anyway, one thing I will say is in the creative industry,
hit us.
It has a huge advantage of, you can pretty much come from anywhere and make it as something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like using your list as an example, like everyone on there had different background, different types of education, all that stuff, and reach various levels of success. So not to say that you'll be successful no matter what you do, but it does have, like, you can't be a self-taught lawyer. At the highest level.
Yeah.
And just like, oh, no, I dropped out of high school, but, you know, I watched a lot of YouTube videos. And so
I watched a lot of Law and Order.
I watched a lot of Law and Order. And so I became a good lawyer. But anyway, that is a nice thing about it. And that's kind of a blessing with that industry. Man, I don't even know where to begin. There's so many.
Let me take the reins.
Yeah,
because again, you know how I love saying taking the reins and getting that horse.
You
got to
sneak
in there.
That in somehow.
I like it. First, I want to just reject you because I think you very much are someone who is capable of talking about this subject matter. And again, I know that you and I both want to. We strive to be higher in our creative endeavors and, you know, move on to bigger and better things.
Sure.
But just, you know, what's always nice is to kind of have that outside perspective. And so even though I'm a friend of yours, it's still like on paper, if we look at it, we go, okay, person comes from different country, starts attending school. But then while attending school, people go, oh, hey, you're good at stuff. Will you come work and do that for me.
Yeah.
Like right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what, when you were a sophomore?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then you're like, okay, so then you leave school and you start working. And then again, have just been doing that since. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's an affirmative way. Because a lot of people, like, yeah, sure, like not everyone with creativity or like an artist wants to like be famous or like make all this stuff for the masses. Like sometimes it's like, oh, I love being creative, but I just want a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, graphic designers aren't necessary to be like, oh, I want to be the best like there ever was and catch Pokemon and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I want to make sure that I can, you know, feed myself mm-hmm. and like what I do. And so I think someone, a graphic designer, like a young one, could look at you and be like, oh, that's really encouraging because maybe I don't have money or whatever, but it's just like, if I have good work
mm-hmm.
And I put it out there and I'm open to feedback and I can work with people mm-hmm. and I can have good communication skills that I can provide for myself. And so, I mean, you've done cool freelance work and your website shows that, but you also, again, have consistent work at your place of business, which I won't say, it's private. Don't stalk Noah. He's taken. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's, maybe we can kind of start with ourselves and what we think about our own experience, what we deem good and maybe what we lament, even though we can't change anything, mm-hmm. kind of our own views on that. So since I just spoke about your stuff, how do you view your whole experience? Do you lament not finishing school at all? Or are you really grateful or kind of talk us through that, baby?
No, it's really interesting because as I was writing my notes, I went into it with the mindset that for me, experience has been a better or more positive thing in my life than school has been. Mm-hmm. 'Cause for a long time I've been, or at least right after I left school, I felt like, oh, you know, I didn't really get a whole lot out of that. It's mm-hmm. It's not propelling me forward in any way. And I was trying to think about it in every job where I get to use my creative skills that I've held I didn't get it through school. And I didn't get it through connections that I made in school. So I thought that was kind of interesting to me because you can make different types of connections in school and out of school.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the connections I made out of school landed me those jobs. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm focusing my energy in the wrong spots. But like the more I was digging into it, I realized school is really good for many, many things, but specifically in my case, it's really nice if you're trying to narrow down the things that you want to do for a career,
mm-hmm.
Or try new things. It's a great place to, because there's, you know, with all different courses and majors and all that stuff, like a graphic design major might realize, oh, I'm really enjoying my projects and my film classes a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll pivot to that. So that's one way that's really good. And I don't know that it helped me in that way a lot, but I've seen many people benefit from that aspect of it. And for me, the biggest thing is you get to make connections with people who might be creative partners with you,
mm-hmm.
More so than job opportunities, which I think is just as valuable because I feel like a student in college is a lot more likely to want to work on something with you just out of passion
mm-hmm.
without expecting like immediate rewards for what they're doing. Yeah. If you're already out in the professional world, almost all work has to equal pay,
mm-hmm.
which makes a lot of sense. And if that's your livelihood, if that's how you make a living, you can't go around handing out free work.
Mm-hmm.
But if you make those creative connections early on when, you know, money's not really the thing that's driving you, that's a really good place to be. I don't think that we would have ever met had it not been for college. And then we wouldn't be doing this podcast. So like that, there's so much to take into consideration. I think it ultimately comes down to like trying to just grab opportunities as they come to you. Like don't feel like you have to stick to one thing. And again, that's the advantage of this industry is you can kind of reach your arms in multiple directions and try to think about, what am I going to get out of this? That looking back, I'll be like, I'm glad I did it. You know? Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was kind of my shortened version for myself, that just how it played out.
Yeah. Man, so many things to react to there.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
No. It was like a positive statement.
Like fumbling on my words, but yeah.
I reject it. It was delivered like a fine sonnet.
Wine. Oh.
Yeah, sure. A wine as well. Poured fancily with the tilted wrist. Mm. That's how you do it. College is a great place for experimentation, both academically and physically. just joking. Sorry, Mom. Anyway, but it is true. I've known a lot of friends who weren't quite sure what they wanted to do. And so the hard thing is the money aspect of it all. So let's just play with that for a second.
Sure.
But it is nice because students are able to get their hands on gear and equipment and people who are knowledgeable. Oh, Noah smiled at me when I said equipment.
No, when you said people.
Oh, well, both are
to get
now,
their hands
both,
on people.
Both are dirty.
Which
now.
Is the yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, audience. But they're able to, really kind of play in this fun sandbox where it's like, okay, like, pick up these toys. Do I like this? No. Okay. Do I like this? No. And with like work, yeah, it's kind of hard to, or like with experience, equaling like just starting a gig or whatever, you may go, oh crap, like I've committed to something that I'm not actually interested in. Like from the outside, I thought it was, but now like, or maybe it takes you a while within that to find what you like. And so, yeah, like even I, like my friends, one switched constantly from photography to cinema. And it is because like, it is a great time and place to play with like, what do I really like? What am I really good at? And what's making me happy? And kind of getting thrown into those situations where you have to engage with the medium. So I think that's a great point. Second, yes, very thankful for school so that we could meet. I don't frequent baguette shops, so there wouldn't have even been like some...
There's no overlap there.
Yeah, there wasn't going to be some meet cute where I reach for a baguette and you reach for a baguette and I look up and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't mean to touch your baguette. And then you say, oh, it's not my baguette, it's ours. And then, the music starts and we're friends.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're kind of... I think I'll probably keep coming back to the pluses and minuses of each, but just to transition into my own experience. Yeah. it was hard deciding what to do for me. I really was kind of, it was that blessing and curse of like, oh, I can do anything, but then really not knowing what the best course was. And I think that again, it's the blessing and curse of creative work. To where some other places do have that kind of loosey-goosey to where it's like, oh, like what law school or like what steps, but with creativity, it's kind of like, man, you can start when you're like 50 after having lived a whole life and then you have a brand new career. So anyway, I thought about film school for a while or just like, kind of doing that European, like take a break and just kind of work and like just some random job and chill and ponder. I don't know exactly why I ended up going to school. I just felt right about it all of a sudden. Randomly. Yeah. I was like, I'll go. And I'll say that looking back now, I am very thankful, but also frustrated with my school experience. And I don't blame, the Institute of School itself for that. Mm-hmm. I think it is kind of a like, oh, I don't feel like I learned that much that I didn't know beforehand. And so when I look at the amount of dollars that I have in debt, compared to like what I really gained in wisdom, I kind of go, I don't know if these seem like a fair trade to where I'm like, maybe I would have done things differently. Mm-hmm. The thing though with that is there is no alternate dimension if, you know, unless you subscribe to that philosophy that there's millions of, you know, dimensions and, you know, there's a Kyle out there who's not alone and sad. Oh, boy. Always got to work it in. Anyway, though, but I look back and I'm like, there's a lot of important development things that happened at my time in school. Mm-hmm. And again, it gave me the sandbox, an environment to grow and kind of figure out what I actually wanted to know. And so one benefit of schooling was, you know, when I started as a cinema major, I was almost instantly frustrated because I wasn't very good with the technical aspect. And so whenever we'd have the projects, I wasn't great at the camera or with sound. And so I was like, crap, I suck. Like maybe I'm not supposed to be a cinema person. Editing was fine, but, I just struggled for a while because I wasn't that good and I wasn't excited. So I was like, well, why am I even here if I'm not like excited to go to class or, you know, having fun? And it wasn't until the screenwriting course that I went, oh my gosh, like this is what I like. This is what does it for me is the storytelling aspect. Mm-hmm. And I probably would have gotten there eventually somewhere else.
Yeah.
But I have to attribute that to school for teaching me that, like that's what I wanted. And then to have like an outside source come in and read my script and be like, these things are like really good to then get that affirmation and then move forward was very important for my development. Again, meeting you, meeting other friends, and just the experiences that I had there shaped who I was as a person to where I view the dollar sign now and I go like, maybe it doesn't line up in terms of like wisdom or knowledge gained,
sure.
But like I'll happily pay that ticket because like it made me who I am now. And so it's kind of like that's where it really comes into play for people to where it really like there's not a right and a wrong answer. Mm-hmm. It comes down to like what you want, who you are, how you learn, how you grow. Because it's like I'm not trying to say like, oh, you should go to college not for the knowledge because there isn't any, you should just go so that you meet friends and develop as a person. It's like, oh no, like you like can learn.
Yeah.
And I did learn some things, but overall, I think I left school hungry for knowledge. Cause I, like, that's the hard thing about school is because you're in this system that's like with grades and whatever, which again makes sense, but I was in survival mode a lot of the time. I was just trying to like pass so that I could get the degree. And so I don't necessarily learn under pressure.
Yeah.
I like for me, it's fun to be curious about something and then seek it out. And so when I graduated, like after I recovered, there was a recovery time.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my gosh, I want to research this and I want to do this. And I kind of was sad because I was like, oh, I had access to like all these professors and this library and all this stuff, but I didn't take advantage of it. But I also go like, I couldn't because I just wasn't in the right headspace for it. So anywho, that's just a little peek into Kyle Stukes, Kyle Stukes' experience with education. Again, I'll have the slightest regret every now and then, but I really do look at it as a fair trade. And,
yeah.
Again, there's no other path for me to take. All I can do is move forward. So
the one tough part is I wish I wasn't still paying for that experience.
Oh yeah. Me either.
I wish I could just look back on it, you know, and be like, oh, you know what? I spent a lot of money, but if I could go back, I wouldn't change it because of what I have now, but I'm still paying for it.
It still is getting me in the butt every month.
Yeah.
Oh boy. So what next, Noah?
I was trying to think about time management stuff, whether you're working a full-time job or you're in school. For me, my productivity didn't really kick in for my personal projects until I'd been out of school for a while and found a like steady job that I didn't have to take home with me.
Yeah.
Because the tough thing, at least for me in school, is that you have all these projects kind of looming over your head. Some of them are small, some of them are big, and then different deadlines and all that stuff, to where when you do have free time, it's like, I'd rather just go hang out with people, you know, mm-hmm. and just do other things, anything but work. I think that's a big issue with, you know, homework and stuff. I'm not like, this is not an argument against homework, but for me, that was the hardest thing to like reconcile, was I'm working in class and then I have to go home and then work some more. And then after that, I'm exhausted. I'm drained. I don't want to do anything else except mm-hmm. for, you know, play video games and watch movies. And so for me, my productivity didn't really kick in until way later. And mostly with my current job, I would say, where I get to go in at work, it's work that I'm good at and it's work that I enjoy. So at the end of the day, I'm not completely drained of energy and creative juices, and I can still do stuff. Mm-hmm. Not like, I recognize that that's a blessing, and I feel very fortunate about that, because not everyone can be like, oh, yeah, I'll just find a job like that then.
Okay, you know? I'll just get into the job can and get shot off into where jobbies.
Yes. So it's, yeah. I'm very happy that I did find this. But the biggest thing for me, and I guess this would be my one piece of advice if you are in school. You can tune out now if you don't want to hear
just
this.
Just joking. It's going to be great. Shut up and listen.
Try not to let your schoolwork be your only work that you do. Try to make time for personal projects, because for me, at the end of my 2 years in school, I had done all this work that was for school projects. And I was like, I'm not really proud of any of this. And a big part of that is just my mentality with school, which was wrong. Mm-hmm. I had the wrong approach with it. I could have been more creative and worked harder, but I just followed guidelines enough. Mm-hmm. I just happened to be somewhat good at the stuff already, which was not good for me as a student, because it was a major crutch where I was like, it's going to be fine. I know how to do this. I'll just follow the rules and then it'll be good. I'll get the grade. And that's how it was. So at the end, I was like, oh, now I'm out of school. I'm doing what I want to do. You know, I was working a job now. So that part was great. Mm-hmm. But in terms of like personal fulfillment, I was like, man, I have nothing to show. There's nothing I have that I'm really that proud of. I had like a couple of short films and stuff like that, but even those I had a lot of fun making, mm-hmm. but it's not something that I want to show people. So like all of the collaborative projects I'd done felt more like inside jokes than actual portfolio work. So if you can, and I realize, especially if you're in your later years of college, this is such a tough thing to find time for yourself, but either latch on to something, a school assignment that you're super passionate about, and make sure that it's something that you're going to carry with you for a while and that you're going to show people, or focus on stuff that you're passionate about outside of your school assignments. And I really wish I'd done that. Because a lot of my skills just either stayed the same or dropped off during my time in college, just because I wasn't using them. Mm-hmm. I was doing the bare minimum for school. And then on the side, I was like, oh, well, I don't want to do more work. Mm-hmm. Again, that comes from my issues with discipline and all this stuff.
Noah is a classic lawbreaker. Have you heard of the Revolution of France? He was there.
I mean, discipline in terms of like getting work done.
Yes.
not following the rules, although there was some of that. But that was the toughest thing for me, I think. I didn't necessarily feel like I wasted time being in school and attending school. Mm-hmm. Although there was some of that, but mostly I felt like I wasted my free time not being creative. Mm-hmm. That was a that was something for me.
Yeah, it's it's so gray. This whole thing's so gray. And again, that should be the takeaway, is like, you really have to customize your, I mean, with everything, you should customize your life to how you are and how you want to live. But yeah, I think I felt that tension too of projects taking me away from things that I wanted to work on. Mm. That was always what killed me, because I was very active outside of like my school projects, like, and not in sense of like I was pumping out content, but my brain's always going like with stories and stuff. Yeah. So I always was scribbling stuff or like writing scenes or coming up with, you know, ideas. And so to kind of like get really excited about something, be like, oh my gosh, like this new story. And then be like, well, now you must write a paper, like a 20 something paper about this topic. For me, that would just kill me. It would just crush me, because I like have my two, like my two sides would be like, I want to create and express myself and do this thing. But then it's like, well, you have to write about something that you're not really, really passionate about. And even if it was in relation to film, for me, I don't know what it is, but I get so bored writing about art. Yeah. I can talk about it. I love talking about it. I love discussing, but somehow whenever it transitions into on paper in the form of an essay or an opinion, I just die. I can't do it. And it's like, that's what people would always tell me, oh, you should be a film critic. But it's like, as soon as I started trying to write about it, it just felt pretentious and icky. And I was like, oh, I don't like it. And so at school, whenever I had to write papers, it was such a mental like journey of just struggling to get it done. And so, yeah, I felt that tension of like, I really want to work on my own stuff, or like you feel that little, you know, creative tickle. I'm like, ooh, like what will I make today? Mm-hmm. And then school's like, what I want you to, my slave. Like, and yeah, that's hard.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's like a pro and a con, because for people like me who, at the time, I could only find motivation in things that I already enjoyed. I think that's a good kind of preparation for the professional world.
Yes, great point.
Before, if you ever get to the point where you get to make stuff for yourself and you get to make money doing it, that's like the dream for everyone who's a creative. But long before you get to that point, and I mean, it's going to be longer or shorter depending on the person, but there's going to be a lot of doing assignments for clients or for a boss or whatever that you're not passionate about, that you're going to have to do your best job possible. Otherwise you don't have a job.
That's right.
And I wish that I had adopted that mentality when I was in school, where I was like, you know what, why wouldn't I do a good job on this? Especially if it's draining me and I'm not able to do stuff that I'm proud of outside of it. Like, why wouldn't I try to make this something that I'm proud of? Because it's time that you have to make, and it's something you have to do. So why not do the best job? So anyway,
no, Noah, that is a fantastic point. It really, that is a good thing about school, is it does prepare you for those certain types of situations. And so, yeah, it's like, man, I hated group projects in school. It was like, just put a bullet in my head. Like, no, thank you. Like, I'm going to either get stuck with all the overachievers who they're just going to like make it hell for me. Cause it's like, all right, let's just put all our effort into this like silly little tiny project, or I'm going to get stuck with all the underachievers. And then I'm like, no, I'm one of you, but like, I have some sense of like responsibility. So now I'm in charge. Yes. And I hate that.
Yes.
But it does a lot of things in school prepare you for just like real world living. And I like to think that when I use professionalism in a sentence with myself, I also feel silly and pretentious, but I like to think like my etiquette for working with others, being a part of a team, was definitely enhanced and sharpened by school, to where now it's like, I feel like I can communicate well with people I work with currently, you know, like in a more formal businessy setting, to where it's like, I was taught to, you do your part, you reach out, you don't, you know, with a group project, it's never like, oh, you're going to get that done by Thursday. Okay. And then you just wait till Thursday and you show up to class. You're like, did you do your part? Like, you don't do that. You check in, you follow up, you collaborate, you know? And so, yeah, to step back from that and do more of what you were saying, I do think it is good. It's like, you're not always going to get to make what you want or do things that you want to do. And so like the world doesn't owe you that. And so in school, it is good to be exposed. Slash, that's the benefit of it, is being exposed to different types of people, different types of leadership. Again, just like with a boss, you have teachers and they behave in different ways. Mm-hmm. They engage with you different ways, and having to do work that isn't your favorite, but doing it well, having a good principle, good work ethic, that's really important. And I do think that's a really good point, that it's like you should do everything with excellence. Mm-hmm. And I do think that's something that I continuously try to get better at, which is like sometimes if it's not like, oh, this is my vocation, then you can be like, well, I'll just get by.
Right.
And that's how it was with school. Again, I was in survival mode, but it's like it's kind of, it's a little prideful to be like, oh, this is below me.
Right.
And so I do think that, I think that's an excellent point, that school can provide, again, a nice little like boot camp to your ego and, you know, to your soul of like, hey, like, you're not the most important thing in the world.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to, like, this is real life. And so anyway, great point.
Well, and a big advantage too is like, that's stuff you can sort of find out if you're not in school and just like working a bunch of jobs. Mm-hmm. But in school, you sort of have that safety net of the worst that can happen if you, you know, make that one mistake is you'll get a bad grade. Mm-hmm. And then you can fix that. You're still in school. You're still attending the same class. You know, when you like fail at something at most jobs, maybe you'd get a couple of more chances, you know, if you're lucky, but there's like the real life consequences are a lot more drastic. So, it is a good preparation without the measurable repercussions, but
And this is another thing. So transitioning a little bit, that just the maybe things that you don't like or aren't 100% up your alley is, just different. I don't know exactly what word to use. I'm just going to, this is incorrect, but I'd say genres of content. And so like, I know for me, obviously there's art schools that focus on particular subjects, you know, but you know, I had other courses to take at my university.
Right.
And so a lot of those I would get frustrated at because I would have that mentality of like, I want to be doing art, but I'm like, you know, doing like Western Civ or I'm like doing some of these more general courses are like, oh, like physical science, like this is so dumb, I'll never use this. But I think, and you can get this with work experience as well, but I do think that's a benefit of the more traditional university / college experience, is getting exposed to other things. Because again, like you may have an idea of what you like, but then at school you're able to maybe dabble with some other subjects and like, oh, I might actually like this. And also just being a well-rounded person. I think school gives you an opportunity to learn about the world. And I know that a lot of courses that were really influential for me were outside of, you know, of the cinema. Like one was Theories of Counseling. That course rocked my world. Shout out to Kevin Simpson, who I have a giant man crush on and am severely thankful for. Just like, holy crap, that man. So awesome. And then again, Western Civ 2 was a great course, just learning about the world. And so a lot of times, like, and I'm speaking for myself, but artists can have a narrow view of like, this is my bubble, this is what I want to do. And so like anything else is, you know, not important. And so I do think school, since we are our audience mainly is artists or those who, you know, dabble with creativity, they can kind of have that mentality, maybe I'm just assuming, of like, I want to do this and this is what matter, but it's like, this is what matters. But it's like, yeah, that's the benefit of school, is that you can, like, it's dumb to ever stop learning or to especially just about the world in general. And so that is a, if I'm offering advice or encouragement to someone who,
Kyle,
I know I'm the worst. It's like, be open to that. Just because it doesn't necessarily feel good right away or relate to you, don't you know, don't shrug it off. I wish I could say that to young Kyle.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah, exactly. And for me, while I was in college, a lot of my inspiration, which never went anywhere because I didn't use it out of my own lack of motivation, but a lot of my inspiration for things and projects and stuff came from classes outside of my major, like history classes and science and all that stuff. You start, it just gets your brain, you know, rolling in a different direction and kind of thinking in a different way. And you get all this new information. You're like, oh, this is something I've never thought of before. Mm-hmm. If you only stick to studying the stuff that you already know, you're always going to keep learning, but it's going to be a really narrow version of what you could be, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, never stop educating yourself outside of what you're good at, because you're only going to benefit from that.
And, you know, I can't necessarily walk the walk right now, but I would really like to, you know, maybe get some further education in English and creative writing and that sort of stuff. That's very appealing to me. And so right now it's honestly just a money and time thing.
Right. But, well, and it's something that this desire came out of you figuring out the writing is what you want to do.
Exactly.
And now that's like focused your attention on that. And you're like, oh, this is something that I can learn more about. So,
all right. So, you know, we're bringing up all these questions, we're raising all these points. We're talking about personal experiences, but it's like, why are we talking about this? Why does this matter? Well, you know, as artists, you know, as human beings, as workers, the goal is to survive. The goal is to be able to, you know, buy food and, you know, pay for flowers for, loved ones to not reciprocate later.
Right.
Anyway, and so it comes down to like, what's the right path? What should I do?
Well, I would say more so than that is the goal is to like follow your passion while being able to do those things.
That's a great point, Noah. Yeah. Correct. Yes. You don't want, if you're just surviving, then, what's the point? You want to be thriving, baby.
That's right.
And so, yeah, it comes down to like, what's going to get me what I want. Uh-huh. And so that's something that I think Noah will be able to touch on well here, being someone who didn't go to school. And then again, I can offer my own, being someone who finished school, just what employers want, what they look for, and how that, again, affects people's decisions.
Yeah.
So, you go into that, Noah.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because you really have to try and look for, and obviously this is impossible to a degree, but look as far as you can into the future and be like, okay, where do I want to end up? And think, okay, I want to be camera operator on a movie set. Mm-hmm. Like that's my goal.
Boom.
You're probably going to need some type of schooling for that, because it's a more technical job. And that's something that you're going to get experience with in school. Whereas you can't just walk onto a set. Like maybe you can like make home movies and then work your way up from there. I've never heard of anyone doing that. Maybe it is possible. But I don't think you'll be doing yourself any favors. Mm-hmm. And again, if you look at it from the perspective of the employer, when they're hiring out, okay, we need a camera operator for this movie set. They go down the list of people like, oh, this guy, that's what he went to school for. Great. Let's try him out. Mm-hmm. But if your goal is to get a job where the employer person hiring you might look at your portfolio over your school record, then make sure that you've put a lot of work into that part more so than the opposite. So yeah, that was kind of my thoughts on that. And again, it'll depend on the employer, but it seems that more and more nowadays that the experience counts for more. Whether that's a good or a bad thing, I don't know. Mm-hmm. For me, it's been good, aside from that period of time where I didn't, you know, produce enough work, but now I'm at a point where, oh, I have no matter what direction I choose to go in, I'll have something that I can show. And at least any direction that I would want to go in at this point. If I had to pivot to something that wasn't where all this stuff was going to be useless and I had to go to school for it, then I'll be in trouble. But I don't think that'll ever happen.
Yeah, it is, you know, and I feel like a lot of our listeners are probably past this stage. Mm-hmm. You know. I don't want to assume.
Yeah.
But for the, if there are people currently in this ordeal, in this, this Sophie's choice, if you will, it might be annoying or frustrating. It's like, well, I can't look into the future. Or, mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, and so it's like, yeah, that's, you know, it's totally understandable. And, it is a hard decision. And again, you know yourself the best. You got to choose what you got to do, but really it is just, it's so, it just depends on what you're doing. Like even within acting, you know, depending on if you're trying to be in like a Broadway production, they may look at where you studied, like,
yeah,
you know, and who you studied under and what, mm-hmm. productions you've been into, which is kind of like a mixing of experience and education.
Yeah.
Whereas like, you know, for a film commercial, no one's going to care.
Yeah.
And if that's what you're wanting to start off with, it's like, well, yeah, just do the whole go to LA and try it out. No one's going to be looking at your schooling, mm-hmm. for that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll try to find this interview, and I don't know his name, but the actor from Modern Family.
Yeah.
The main father guy, he talked about how he kept going to like these Shakespearean, or like, I think it was somewhere in Portland,
mm-hmm.
but it was like a Shakespearean school or whatever. And he'd like just try to do as much education as possible because he was scared to actually go and pursue the dream.
Oh yeah.
And I'm sure it helped him.
Kind of a shield.
Yeah. But he, and then his first audition, he did terribly. And I think either vomited or soiled his pants or both, but it just shows to where like he got lots of good experience out of that and education,
yeah.
from that time, but it wasn't exactly necessarily the end all be all what he wanted to do. He, mm-hmm. wanted to like do acting and he was kind of hiding.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be honest with yourself where it's like, is schooling what I need to do to get the kind of jobs that I want, or not? And if I'm not excited about it, do I still need to do it? And so for writing, it's the same thing to where like, in creative work, a lot of times, like there's so many examples of people squeaking by without experience. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure like your example, the camera operator, I'm sure you could get there without schooling.
Mm.
Like obviously with like anything, it's like, there's those crazy
stories, yeah.
But for some of the more technical positions, they're going to look at that stuff. And so, mm-hmm. for a writer, like a reporter,
mm-hmm.
or someone who's writing a column, like magazine, you know, whatever, it's not as, like, oh, I'll just look at your portfolio. It's more like, does this person know how to do this? Did
right.
they go to school for this?
Yeah.
Whereas like, you know, if someone's looking at a screenplay or, you know, your first novel, they're not going to care where, mm-hmm. you went.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go, is this a piece of crap or can I sell this?
Yeah.
And so, for me, I know that I really was, I didn't know what to do once I graduated.
Uh-huh.
I was riddled with that angst. I was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know if I want to be in movies.
Mm.
And but that's all I've really trained for. And that's,
yeah.
where that desire of like, crap, I wish I would have done like a major in English,
mm.
or like more stuff with creative writing. I don't know. But right now, again, I work in something that is somewhat creative. Again, digital production manager, working in advertising,
yeah.
marketing. It's not 100%, you know, what I want to do, but I do get to be creative, and I've gained lots of fun stuff from this. But ultimately, I think what is going to get me to where I want to go is my body of work. And so, again, you and I are working on our comic. are multiple comics. And so when we submit those to the production companies and stuff,
yeah,
no one's going to be like, well, where did those two go to school? It's going to be, do they know how to tell a story? Mm. Is this good? Whatever. It certainly doesn't hurt. And again, there's different jobs to where they'd be like, where did he go to school? Does mm-hmm. he have any education in mm-hmm. this? But for me right now, that is fine. Like, I have the experience, but it doesn't really matter where I want to go. And yeah. so, again, just to reemphasize the point, as much as you can, think about what you want to do and research, like, what are the requirements mm-hmm. for this? And then if it's just that body of work, maybe just invest that money that you would have put into college or got a loan for or borrowed from your parents, you know, as we do, and start just working. And it's fine too to change your mind. So yeah. many people go to school and then drop out, and dropout has such a heavy, I feel like, stigma, like stigma. It's bad and you're a failure. And it's like, no, like, just the hardest thing is being honest with yourself. Mm. It's hard to go, oh, I made the wrong decision or whatever, but don't view it as that. Just view it as I am, you know, participating in the world. And, if I'm listening to my soul, I'm going to know what feels right and what doesn't. And I think that's the main thing, is just being like, do I feel good with this decision?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you get instant, you know, affirmation. Again, at school, it could be hard. It mm-hmm. could not be 100% fun, but it's kind of that, I don't know, that inner creative voice who we will refer to as Papa.
One thing to keep in mind too is that this doesn't stop in college. I know we're talking a lot about being in college and what to do when you're there, and a lot of people are way past that point. Mm-hmm. But if you're thinking that you missed that boat, it's not necessarily the case, because your boat might just be coming along later. And the one big advantage that we have in this day and age is the internet and how accessible everything is. Mm-hmm. And I know I sound like someone who just discovered what the internet is, and everyone's going to be like, oh yeah, of course. but it's so true. Like, just now compared to 5 years ago, it's so much easier to get your content out there. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what kind of content you're producing. But yeah, and that's, and that, I feel kind of bad, because like this whole time I understand that we're talking about all of this from a pretty privileged mm-hmm. Kind of pedestal, where it's like, oh, we got to choose stuff, you know?
Sure.
And that's crazy. Like, so many people don't get that. Mm-hmm. And I try to keep that in mind, but I guess my point is, whether or not you had any of these opportunities, and you've made it to this point and think, man, I've wasted a lot of time. If you look forward, I feel like it's about the same. And maybe you just have less to back yourself with, but any content that you create now can be shown to people with relative ease. I'm not saying that content's going to be successful. That's a whole different thing. But just in terms of like exposing your creativity to people is a lot easier now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely never, ever too late mm-hmm. to start. And yeah, like Noah said, that is a good point of what as well, is that not everyone has the choice of, you know, education versus experience. For some, it's just like, I can't get either, you know? Like, it's, we were joking earlier, there's those different memes or cartoons where the person's like, I'd like this job. And they're like, well, you don't have any, you know, past work experience. Yeah. It's like, well, I just got a high school or, you know, uh-huh. whatever. Like, I need to get that experience.
You need experience to get a job, but you need to have had a job to have experience.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, I had to, my mom had to fight for all my scholarships. And yeah. Again, I'm still paying a lot. And so I can connect with feeling the financial struggle and noose. But yes, mm-hmm. like for some people out there, it may not be a possibility. And so that's the hard thing that you'll have to figure out how to get past that. But whoever is listening, that beautiful stranger out there, I know you can freaking do it. And that's the thing. History has shown us so many times that it really doesn't freaking matter. Yeah. If you are going to create, you're going to create. Mm-hmm. I know that's, you know, a dumb sentence, but it's true. Just through the beginning, when I was looking at all these different, you know, artists and stuff, just reading some of their bios, again, you guys should look into them yourself, but like Louis Armstrong, I was like, oh my gosh, like
he went to the moon.
That's right. Yes.
He won that one cycling race a bunch of times.
No, Noah, no.
Wait, is that the oh.
Yes, you're hilarious. But it's like, you know, that he came from nothing.
Yeah.
And really just had no advantage at mm-hmm. all with life. And I'm not trying to, you know, be like, hey, if you try, it'll work out for you, because life is hard, and so who knows?
Right.
But the point I'm just trying to make, that again, I'm glad that you brought up, is like there is no surefire way to get there, mm-hmm. and so it really comes down to your determination, your passion, the people around you, your environment, and a lot of luck or, you know, divine intervention if you want to subscribe to that mentality. Mm-hmm. But and again, I'm saying this as someone who's not successful. So again, you can buy what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm not on an ivory tower at all. I just happen to have a microphone in front of me.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're driven and it's what you love, like you're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So you'll get there. And again, school's not needed. I don't know. It is encouraging to think that it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's so many just stories of people getting there and starting at different ages. And so, yeah, regardless of what age you are, where you live, whatever, it's like there's a place for you at the table, I believe.
Yeah.
And I'll be right there behind you, hopefully. Again, I imagine that I will be behind you. I don't know what I'm gonna. I don't know how I'm gonna get there.
Self-deprecation.
I'm just being honest. So those are great points, though, Noah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully, it wasn't too much fluff and non ideas. I feel like that. That's all I can come up with. And again, like everything I've said is really limited to the scope of my experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else might have completely different views on any of it. So,
yeah. 100%. And I do think our views are limited. We are wee babes, wee mm-hmm. pups in this world. And so I don't want that to stop us from talking about this stuff.
And yeah, and again, that plays to our point of mm-hmm. like you're always learning, always like listen to other people who know more than you and all mm-hmm. that stuff. Yeah.
And I mean, that was the design of this podcast, mm-hmm. which is, I know for me, I would have loved to hear what we're saying right now when I was in school.
Yes.
And so again, I don't know if our listeners, if anyone, that this is stuff that they relate to, if they're all past this, but that's, I'm going to continue to make and say the things that I would like to hear. And
right.
So
well, because different people arrive at those things at different times. So mm-hmm. maybe someone is like way later into the process and they're like way beyond school and they think, oh, this applies to me right now, like aside from the school stuff, just in terms of job prospects and things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. And again, like Quentin Tarantino, 30s, first movie. Mm-hmm. I think Samuel L. Jackson was in his 40s when he got his first acting gig. I'm not 100% sure.
That seems really late.
It does, but I mean, he's a handsome man, so
right,
I could believe it. But it's never too late, and you know, it just starts with you making something or taking that step.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've talked about this before, so I'll try not to beat people over the head with it. But again, Neil Gaiman, that whole philosophy of the mountain. Is this familiar to you?
A little bit.
Okay. Well, again, he talks about the mountain kind of being your goal, what you're aspiring to do, you mm-hmm. know, the the ultimate treasure. And not every path is going to take you directly towards the mountain, but it may circle back, or it may bring you to a different path that leads you to the mountain. And so I think as I say this advice, I'm saying it to myself, which is not everything. You don't not to put so much pressure on every single decision. I think this really is like more of a millennial, if you want to call it that, or just younger person thing, which is there's the pressure to get started right away, to be successful right away, to be on the right path right away. And it's fine for things to take a while, or for you to take your time, or to figure stuff out, or to do different jobs, or to mainly do jobs that aren't what you want to do while on the side, you do your creative stuff because that's all you can do.
Yeah.
Like that's totally a valid way to live.
Oh, that's a great point. I'm glad you brought it up because I think a lot of people do forget to take their time. Like that's okay. And I think that's a con or a kind of a flip side to the point I was making earlier about the blessing of the age of the internet is that with all this like immediacy and people like rising to fame immediately and being successful and like these YouTube stars, just you can unbox toys and you'll be a millionaire, you know? And so it's like, maybe that can be discouraging for a lot of people. And maybe back in the day, there was more of a mentality of, oh, well, you know, if you work hard for a long time, then eventually you'll get to a point where you can like sustain yourself. And so, I really like that you made that point where it doesn't have to be right away. And that's so easy to say. But again, we're not getting to the point that we want right away.
No.
But we feel pretty comfortable saying that, you know.
Yeah.
Just it'll come in its own time as long as you like stick to your passion and the path that, that you have your eyes set on. So
we sent out our Give Me to the Waves pitch and no one gave a crap.
That's right.
No one cared.
Yeah.
And it gets discouraging, but it's being on the opposite end of it that it's like, it's okay because that's all that could have occurred is we built it. We learned a lot making it. We had fun making it. We put it out there. It didn't work. That's fine for this time. Yeah. Like we'll keep going.
Yeah. Switch gears, try something else. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, I am afraid with you if like I don't want it to just be like, oh, Noah and Kyle will just say fluffy stuff to the audience of like, follow your dreams and like, you can make it, man. Like, we love you. We believe in you. Like, keep going. But I don't know. I think truth is important to hear, even maybe if it's just from an Ecuadorian and a Frenchman through the magic of radio / podcasting. But it's like ease up on yourself, you know, be honest with yourself. Where can you be doing better? And where should you like chill the heck out? And again, that applies to me. I so much so need to chill the heck out that I think I've decided that I need to watch an episode of Twin Peaks every day.
Do it.
I think I have made that decision, especially because it's October and I'm feeling kind of freaky, feeling kind of dark.
Yep.
But I think Kyle needs to love himself / Papa a little bit more.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Noah, do you have any last points on this troublesome topic that has had its way with us tonight?
No, I think as always, I'm like left with a bunch of different like jumbled thoughts. And I'm like, man, I've got some thinking to do. Cause I unpacked some stuff that I hadn't had to think about for a long time. So, I think this was good for me. Again, like you said, we're giving a lot of this advice to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it applies to anyone else, it sort of helps to air it out and kind of have it vocalized. So anyway.
Totally. No, and I feel invigorated and kind of excited to move forward. And it is kind of fun reflecting back. And you know, again, just speaking truth to myself and being like, oh, like, yeah, like what a crazy ride it's been.
Right.
So I've had fun talking about it with you. I'm always excited to sit across from you. And then after we press the off button to jump over the table into your arms. Noah, if anyone wants to digitally jump into your arms, where can they do that?
Instagram is probably the best spot. Just my name, Noah Bosley. I'm trying to be as active as I can. Again, it's a little tricky with working on the comic. I don't want to just put the comic out there all the time and then have that be the only stuff and then have like ruin the surprise. Mm-hmm. But also, I don't want to take too much time away from it to have content just to put on Instagram. So anyway, I'm trying to be as active as I can. So that's probably the most current stuff is going to be up there.
Very yummy. Yeah. You can also follow myself at Kyle_the_Ecuadorian. And also Ominous Media itself has an Instagram now. I don't remember what it is though. Is it just, Ominous_media?
Yes. Ominous_media.
Fantastic.
On Instagram.
That's sad that I don't remember it because I made it. I created it
That's correct.
Myself. It's like Lord Sauron making the Ring of Power and then being like, who designed this? I love this. Oh, wait, it was me.
That's a great Sauron impression.
Thank you, Frodo, you bad little hobbit. Oh man, there's an audio play somewhere within there.
Yeah.
Humming Fools, thank you so much for taking time to listen to us, to engage with us. We wish you luck in your creative endeavors, and we hope that you have a good evening or day, depending on when you're listening to this.
Ciao.